We're going to deviate a little bit from the agenda you've seen, as Peter mentioned this morning. Jason Miner is going to report his arrive, so we'll ask him to come forward now, Jason. So thank you. Nice to see you. Appreciate your
The one that says push. And what's the right 16 inches the distance in this building as well as the building I originate from? Great. Thanks, Chair Imason. Thanks to the board and everybody in attendance for making time on the agenda for me to drop in and offer some comments. For the record, my name is Jason Miner, and I'm the Natural Resources Policy Director for Governor Kate Brown. And I wanted to take the opportunity to describe the governor's vision for Oregon's forests and for the Board of Forestry. It's always an interesting reflection that I often get to meet board and commission members as they are moving through the appointment and confirmation process with the Senate, and often have fewer interactions with them afterwards. And it's good to be back today and to talk a little bit about the governor's vision for forests and for the board in particular. And I think I begin that by saying first that the governor has been a leader on advancing policy to address climate change for her entire career, including the Coal to Clean legislation. In my time in the governor's office, executive orders facilitating adoption of electric vehicles, and legislation this session to become the second state to adopt a cap and trade system for reducing greenhouse gas emissions, and that's HB 2020. And SB 928, which are alive and well over in the halls of the Capitol. Oregon's forests in that vision, I think, can help the state be a leader in addressing climate change. Forests sequester carbon, and Oregon's forest lands are a powerful asset in a world seeking solutions of any kind to climate change. Both government and private entities should be able to derive economic benefit from the carbon value of Oregon's forests. Whether in exploring the value of carbon credits on the Elliott State Forest or continuing to advocate for benefits to the forest products industry and to the state from the proceeds earmarked for carbon reduction in a cap and trade system, the governor has been consistent in advocating for a significant role for Oregon's forests in mitigating climate change. The governor expects that climate change mitigation and adaptation are a part of any and all policy conversations that we have. And I convey that pretty, I think that's conveyed in a meeting which the state forester, Peter Daugherty, is a part of every 2 weeks. And that's where the Natural Resources Cabinet comes together in the governor's office and discusses how natural resource issues that go across agencies interact and how we can work together across agencies, across the entire administrative branch of government to advance priorities that have multiple aspects. And there's probably no better example of that than the cross-agency effort that we're making to elevate climate change as a concern, whether it be land use planning, water resources, or the Department of Forestry. So this would not, should I appear at all 14 commissions of the 14 natural resource agencies, I would say the same thing. Climate change is a part of all policy that the state's considering. I mentioned climate adaptation and mitigation as a priority, and I want to shift now to a second priority, and that's more along the adaptation lines. The governor created through her budget in December and through executive order in January, a Council on Wildfire Response. And the council is charged with developing strategies for the long term and strategies around wildfire mitigation, suppression, and community adaptation and recovery. Yes, some of this work has been done before, but the political will to develop a long-term funding and structural solution to help the Department of Forestry has not yet gelled. Oregon is a national leader in fire response, but the costs in dollars and the impacts to the department's goals when fire season clears out the halls and when that fire season is longer and more intense than ever before, that impact is unsustainable. What differentiates this council is the breadth of membership designed to build statewide, economy-wide, interest-wide support a breadth of focus with mitigation and recovery added to the list of tasks for them to address in addition to suppression, which was ably addressed by the department's effort, I believe, in 2016. Do I have my year right? So mitigation, suppression, and adaptation to fire and the roughly 50% of wildfires attributable to climate, to a changing climate, is a critical mission of the department in the governor's vision. And I just want to take this moment to extend a profound thank you to State Forester Peter Doherty, to Travis Medema, Chad Davis, to Nils for volunteering to be the board liaison, and for Tom for talking with me about the council prior to its launch. It's now had two meetings, including a meeting yesterday, and I appreciate your dedication and your willingness to dedicate time to this. I also want to reflect for a moment on the governor's recommended budget and the pop that the agency put together, and speak for a moment on I think in working with boards, commissions, departments, and stakeholders, people may not know exactly what the governor's recommended budget is and how it's approached. As a team, we come together and make recommendations to the governor as to what to include. I met with you at your retreat on the east side of Salem while the POP, the agency POP, was being developed. And I want to clarify here and publicly in this forum that I think that was a fantastic POP. I think it was a well thought out. I think the department did great work. And I make recommendations to the governor during that budget process based on a whole suite of factors. We came up with the idea that really the purpose of the governor's budget should be to look towards this long-term solution. Short-term solutions for this fire season or next fire season, specific asks, perhaps associated with positions requested by the department, the POP. We never had any doubt that the legislature would take those up during the 2019 session and try and craft the right approach that matched with legislative intent. Ultimately, the governor proposes and the legislature disposes. So I think I want to clarify that the fact that I should also clarify that I never really had $20 million to play with in that process anyway. But the fact that the fact that the POP itself did not make it into the governor's recommended budget, nor any subset of that POP, does not reflect a value judgment on the department's work or the value of that POP. Ultimately, it reflects that there are legislators deeply involved in this issue who are going to make that decision anyway. And I fully believe that that's happening right now. And that the shot we wanted to take was trying to solve this problem in the long term. And that's the purpose of the council. Moving to a third goal, the governor is also committed to expediency in pursuing a habitat conservation plan for state forests. For the governor's office, for the governor, the HCP is the priority on state forests. The governor is deeply committed to working on habitat conservation plans, you know, both in the experience in working on the Elliott State Forest, but also in looking at the state forest program and what's the right pathway forward. Specifically, I think she is convinced that we need consistency and predictability in the future production of wood products from state forests. We also need measurable, legally defensible conservation outcomes to keep state forests working. I think in that vein, the governor is strongly committed to the greatest permanent value approach and sees the Habitat Conservation Plan as a way to manifest that approach with specific targets, measurables, quantification in it that's helpful and offers transparency. The risks of litigation and the challenges of managing in a complex environment are just too great. The HCP approach offers that guaranteed revenue, stability, predictability, and the transparency I just referred to. And so she is keen on and pays keen attention to the Habitat Conservation Plan efforts. I wasn't able to attend the last Board of Forestry meeting, but I do understand that the timeline on the HCP is somewhat longer than expected due to the contract coming in about, say, or the funding for the contract coming in about 6 months late in the past year. And I'd like to be able to convey to the governor that the department can meet an aggressive HCP timeline and moving forward and continue to meet what I think is a prioritized fast timeline because she really is watching to make sure that that provides some stability to our state forest program. I know she would like to come to meet with the board in the fall to discuss forests, climate change, wildfire, the topics I've already addressed, and the habitat conservation plan and habitat conservation planning in general. And I'm sure that that would be a great opportunity for a check-in on where the HCP process stands. If there are any ways that we can help in the governor's office, I look forward to conveying those as well. And I was fortunate enough to be meeting with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service last Friday on sage-grouse conservation planning in our SageCon effort, and to talk with Paul Henson from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And he conveyed on that he has a lot of confidence both in the DSL HCP process and in the Board of Forestry's HC process, and that the contractor, and as I understand from a conversation with Peter, perhaps the contractors that are working with you on the HCP process, ICP, if I have their acronym right, they're some of the best in the business, and he has a great deal of confidence that'll move forward. But Governor is keenly interested in seeing that be successful. And lastly, I want to thank you all for your service. As I said, I tend to meet you at the beginning of this journey or this odyssey and not always meet you further along the way. And I am happy to be here today and happy to be here in the future. And the governor looks forward to being in the future to have a closer relationship. I think the Board of Forestry has one of the hardest volunteer roles in state government, second perhaps only to the Fish and Wildlife Commission. I also want to thank the staff for your service, and I want to acknowledge that the state forest leadership and staff, Liz Dent and crew, have done a great deal of hard work to bring financial stability to the state forest program. With restructuring and staff reductions, the state forest program is moving to a business efficiency model that I think was recommended to you by external consultants. And I think that's fantastic. I think that model is designed to be more effective and more efficient. Even as a layperson wading into the issues, I understood some of the structural reorganization around issues as opposed to geography, and it sounded like a model for approaching more efficiency on costs of the state forest program. But I also want to convey that I believe you have the governor's support for pursuing revenue diversification on the revenue side of the revenue expense equation of the state forest program to help fund the myriad services that state forests provide. In particular, I know you have the governor's and the governor's office support for looking for ways to find funding to support the recreational obligations on state forests, ecosystem services provided by state forests, and other questions about the revenue side that challenge the financial viability of state forests. And in fact, I think the way I look at it from the outside is that, you know, we've made some really hard decisions at the department, and you have made some really hard decisions around financial stability that shouldn't rest solely on the shoulders of staff. In many ways, staff reductions and reorganization are things that are experienced by people in their day-to-day lives. It's their jobs. It's their location of work. It's their commitment to state service. And with many of those changes having already been made, it shouldn't be the only place, from my perspective, speaking personally now, where some of the cost equation in state forests should be affected. Now that some of those hard burdens have been borne by state ODF staff, I see it as a incumbent responsibility that the governor would support looking at the revenue side of the equation and how we diversify revenues on state forests, including looking at new opportunities. And I'd be happy to invite that the board might consider working with stakeholders, that the Board of Forestry itself might work with the governor's office on proposing ideas for that revenue diversification on state forests that can be brought forward to the 2021 legislature. I think this is an idea that's been kicking around for a while, and manifesting it in actual policy conversations in the 2021 legislature is probably a necessary step to moving towards more financial viability. I don't know who the right entity is to build the political support for that. Like the conversation I just had about fire, ultimately ideas need to have broad support to move through the legislature. Solely the support of the department and the governor's office often isn't enough. And so I invite the conversation about where do the ideas originate and who moves them forward and how do we get buy-in about revenue diversification on state forests. But I do think the target should be 2021 legislative session. And with that, with a suite of thank yous that have accumulated over the past months and some conversations about where the governor's priorities rest within various programs, including climate change, the Fire Council, and the HCP, I'd like to conclude and just say thank you for making time. I know it wasn't on your normal agenda. I'm open to any questions. Okay. And I do expect, I expect the governor will come in November to follow up on these issues as well and just have a, it'd be a great opportunity for a conversation with the board and the work ahead. Thank you, Chair Amison. Thank you, board members. Thank you, State Forester.
Yeah, we'll take a like a 10-minute break now and then come back for our next item. The ecosystem's carbon report.
Sorry.